Boar's Head invites you to enlighten your senses. Introducing Boar's Head Ichiban Teriyaki Style Chicken. Inspired by Japanese master chefs, our signature teriyaki glaze is crafted with garlic, ginger, and a hint of brown sugar. Then paired with our tender, slow-roasted chicken breast for a flavor that's sweet, savory, remarkably bold. Boar's Head Ichiban Teriyaki Style Chicken. The bold flavor of Japan. Now at the deli. Compromise elsewhere.
Yes, it'll be all right. This is Bishop Dr. Gregory Scott, and I want to welcome you once again to Glory United Ministries WGUM program featuring Pastor Patricia Benjamin, who will be with us at the end of this particular song. Hallelujah.
In my spirit before the Lord, and I cry when I hear the words that it will be all right. God will take my burdens and it will be all right. The Bible declares, I believe it, Peter, this is, cast all your cares upon me, for I careth. Oh, God, I thank you that it will be all right. I don't know what the song may do for you, but it touched my heart. And I began to sit here and weep as they were singing, it will be all right. Sometimes I feel discouraged. And I think that my whole life is in vain, but then the Holy Spirit, it will revive my soul again. And the words of that song, that it will be all right. Oh, God, I thank you for speaking to my heart by way of song. It will be all right. God will take my burdens, and it will be all right. I dedicate that song to me. God will take my burdens, and it will be all right. I tell you, I thank God for Jesus. As I was singing earlier today, a little song, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my very soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my very soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. And just knowing that it will be all right, God will bear my burden. God will take my burden, and it will be all right. So therefore, my very soul cries out tonight, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. You can't thank God for me, that's for sure. And I can't thank him for you. I can pray for you, but I can't thank God for you. Only you can tell God thank you for what he's done for you and what he's about to do. The songster said, oh, oh, what he's done for me. I tell you. And then she goes on, I'm going to move ahead. She said, I never shall forget what he's done for. That's what he's done for me. Yeah. I tell you, oh, what he's done for me. I tell you, he will take my burden. He'll take your burdens, and it'll be all right. So hold on, my brother. Hold on, my sister. It will be all right. I'd like to dedicate that to all of my listeners, just knowing that God will, God will take your burdens. Yes, God. And it will be all right. Aren't you glad? That you're sure that you are standing on a sure foundation. A foundation not made by man, but you're standing on Christ. the solid rock. You're standing on the promises of God. And when you're standing on the promises of God, you can look the devil eyeball eyeball and tell him, devil, it will be all right, because this light affliction that I'm suffering with, God will take my burden and it will be all right. I was praying once in our Tuesday night prayer, and Pastor had asked me to pray for our troop overseas. This was some years back, and as I began to pray, and I began to say that it'll be all right, and then God spoke to me and said, it's already all right. How powerful. While we're saying it will be all right as if we're waiting for it to manifest, but God said, tell them that it's already all right. That's what I'm saying to you and to myself, that it's already all right. Dr. Scott, it is already all right. God will take your burdens, and it is already all right. I want to give a shout out to my sister. Oh, bless his name. It's already, sister. It's already all right. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, I couldn't pay him. Just the mere fact that he wake me up in the morning and give me the activities of my limbs that I'm able to comb my own hair. There was a point in my life 4 years ago, 2012, after the month of May, when I shattered my shoulder blade, I was not able to comb my hair. And as I was laying on my bed crying out to God, and I just kept crying out to God, God, release my arm, please, Lord. I want to be able to use my arm again, and I'm trusting you because you made me. And as I laid on my bed, I heard the Spirit of the Lord to raise your arm. And I began to try to raise it, and it fell back down. And then I said, Lord, I know I heard you tell me to raise my arm. So I went back. And that time I was able to raise my arm straight up towards the ceiling. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, I don't even have to open my Bible. When I just focus and reminisce on the goodness of Jesus, when we think of the goodness of Jesus, it should wipe out, it should blot out all of the mishaps in our life. If we would just focus, the man says, I won't complain. And we'll sing that song, and before we know it, we go right back to complaining. But when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my very soul cries out, hallelujah. Woo! I thank God for saving me. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. We have acquaintance, associates, and all of those, but there is no one like the Lord. There is none like thee. No one else can touch me the way that God can touch me. Oh, man can touch me physically, but he can only go as far as the skin. But God can get all in the inside and begin to work from the inside out. It's already all right. God will take your burdens if you let him. If you give it to him, you can walk around here with the burden if you choose to. But there is help. Let me say it another way. There is help. cap is on. The way, look up, see God, because your hip is on. The way, I just had to say it like my grandma would say it. Your hip is on. The way. They may not use good English, but you knew what they meant, and so did God. And when they said that your hip is on the way, you could look up and see that it was so that your hip is on the way. I tell you, I feel good. What happens every time I start talking about the Lord? Joy bells begin to ring. I don't have to open up my Bible to talk about the Lord. I just start thinking on his goodness, and the scriptures is like a river of flood bubbling up on the inside, ready to come out. Not only just to bless me coming out, but to bless you when it comes out. I was at a memorial last Saturday, and I didn't get up and say anything because these people, really, some of them didn't want a preached word. So I sat in my seat because that was the only way that I could behave myself. It's the only way I could restrain myself, because if I had got up, Lord have mercy, and got a hold of that microphone and the Lord began to use me, I believe someone would have given their life to God, but they didn't want that. So it's okay, but it's coming a day that they're going to wish that they had this Jesus that I talk about. They're going to wish that they had this Jesus that died for me and rose again. They're going to wish for my Jesus. You're going to look for me and I'll be gone, the song said. But you better seek the Lord while he can be found and call upon him while he's there. But you know what? The preacher in me got a chance to begin to minister on the outside of the building. When the young man made the statement, and oh boy, it was on then, I could not hold it any longer. And I had to testify on the behalf of our God. And I had to let them know, no, that what happened that caused the memorial service, no, God don't operate that way. That is the enemy that operates. And his resume hasn't changed, not a bit. The devil is not afraid of Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. Not afraid of any of them. Not afraid of ISIS or anything, because he's a part of it. But when he said what he said, I had to let that preacher in me start preaching. And Dr. Scott reminded the young man, he says, no, he didn't remind him, he didn't know, he told the young man, he introduced, he said, she's a pastor. And the young man was very comfortable with that because he's got an answer to what he was thinking in his mind. He got an answer. And every time that I get a chance to witness to someone about my Jesus, I'm going to do it. Because I'm not going to have your blood at my hand, God will say. They were in your presence and you should have told them. And you wouldn't open your mouth. So therefore, I have to charge you and not them. Because they really didn't know. See, God's not going to charge me for what you know. The Bible says he that knoweth the way and don't do it is going to be beaten with many a stripe. So if you know to do what's right and you don't do what's right, then you are in trouble. But if you don't know, God's not going to charge you for what you don't know. One day some of you all will be saying, my troubles will be over. And it will be all right. Woo! I love the Lord tonight, and I won't take it back. Why? Because the Lord is so very good to me. I just thank God. I called my sister on today, and I said, where's my nephew? And she said, somewhere, I reckon. And I said, well, get a message to him and tell him, I said, if he's pulled over by the policeman, keep his hands on the steering wheel and sit in the car, because I don't want them to mistake him. If you got to sneeze, sneeze all over them. Don't try to put your hand up to your nose, your mouth, or nothing. Just let it go all over them. Because I don't want you mistakenly shot because you wanted to get your tissue, your hanky, and wipe your nose because it was running. Let it run. Let it drop all over them shucks. But stay alive. One day it'll be over. And it's already. It's already. I feel like I can shut the broadcast down because I've already had church and I've already brought a message through song. See, when you're gifted like that, you can take, you know, when I went up before the board to get my evangelist license in the Grand Old Church of God in Christ, and we had to write a sermon. That was one of the assignments, and so I just wrote how I preach or how I speak. Well, that wasn't good enough with the dean and the marshal, and they wouldn't fail me, but they said, okay, now we got to get to her pastor. And so they contact my pastor and said, listen, are you sure this person is ready for the ministry of evangelistic ministry, evangelist, missionary, and whatever? And my pastor said, yes, she is. She's very much so qualified. Said, well, we can't accept her paper. My pastor said, well, if you knew her, you would be able to accept her paper, but I understand what you're saying because you all don't know her, but she can preach from just one word in the Bible, and she can do a whole sermon from one word. But you all want the homiletics and all of that. I will contact her and ask her to do it the way you all want it done. So my pastor called me. Matter of fact, her husband said, Pat, they don't like what you wrote. You wasn't more detailed. You what this, whatever, you know, for them. And he said, I'll help you write a sermon. If I said, I don't need you to help me write a sermon. I appreciate the help, but just I'll give them what they want. I can do that. So I sat down and I wrote out a sermon, what they were looking for. And my pastor said, well, before it gets turned in, I want to see it. And so when I finished, I said, Pastor, I'm coming over. She says, okay. And I had completed. And I took it to her. And she looked at it and she said, well, if they don't accept this, then they don't even want me to be a pastor. Because they cannot find any fault with this. She said, look, play it their way, get your credentials, and then preach like you want to preach. Preach the way God give it to you. But just go along with them until you get your credentials. Once you get your credentials, go on and do it the way God tell you to do it. It will be all right. Sometimes this is all a person needs is to be encouraged. You've heard it over and over. Everything is all right. Everything's going to be all right, sweetheart. Don't worry. Everything's going to be. But, you know, and you've heard it so much that sometimes now you need to hear it again. See, when you are humble before the Lord and those words come to you, when you have humbled yourself, then that's when they penetrate on the inside of you. But when you, as my dad would say, if you all hopped up and my neighbor down the street there on the corner from where I am, live here in New York, he, a young man, Theodore, he used to say that he had to come out of the house. He was the only boy. He had four sisters, I believe. And he's the only boy. And he said, sometimes it seemed like they would gang up on him. So he said, I had to come out of that house and come down here with you all. He said, because they down there acting all up gabagonious. We never understood what up gabagonious was. But anyhow, he said he had to come out because they were acting all up gabagonious, and that's how he would say. So, you see, oh, bless the Lord, I tell you. Let me get to my word. I don't have my watch on. I just don't want to go over my time. Woo! My troubles one day, Dr. Scott. One day. My troubles will be over, and it will, gonna be, gotta be, already so, all right. Now, before I go into my word here in Thessalonians, well, I should be more specific, I'm looking at both of the Thessalonians. I have a First Thessalonian and a Second Thessalonian, and the first one deals with the fourth chapter, and the second Thessalonian deals with the third chapter. Very small book, but it's first and second Thessalonian. But I just want to say that next month is our anniversary. We're coming up on our anniversary. I have contacted one of my speakers, which is from Palm Beach, Florida, West Palm Beach, Bishop James A. Davis, and he is a prophet of God as well as a bishop, pastor, teacher, preacher, friend of mine, and he already consented. Just let him know the date. And I have three more persons that I need to contact for this anniversary service. I did the first one was last year, the 3 years that we had been on Blog Talk Radio. And now here it is, October almost again. And I brought my first sermon on the fourth Sunday in October of 2012. And I'm trying to decide whether I want to start on the fourth Sunday in October, which is the 23rd, or do I want to go the week before that, because we got five Wednesdays, and my South Carolina crew listen on the fourth Wednesday. So I may just take it into that starting on that Tuesday, the 18th, I believe, something like that, of October, and then run it down to that fourth Sunday. And the fourth Wednesday runs, I believe, on that 18th or 19th, because we have five Wednesdays in October. So prepare your hearts, listeners, to enjoy the prophets. I had all female speakers last year, and they all prophesied. And this time I'm going to go male mainly. I may use a female or two, but I wanted the people to meet the prophets. Folk called in last year for prayer. And the prophet prayed for some of them, gave some of them a word or whatever. So we had no hocus pocus. We preached Jesus Christ crucified. Jesus Christ reigns forever. We are real Christians. I have no other name that I call him by but Jesus. Now, I'm sure if I was Spanish, if I could get my sister-in-law Brenda on the phone, she probably would tell me how do the Spanish people say Jesus. I say Jesus in English. They're Spanish. They may say Jesus another way. Dr. Scott speaks Spanish. Maybe he'll tell us at the end of the program how you say Jesus in Spanish. And of course, if I'm in Africa, you know, they're not speaking English, they would say it in their language and so forth, so on, Italians and whoever, whatever. But I call him Jesus. He said, for I am the Lord, that is my name. You know, I feel real good. I tell you, the song just this morning, I just began to rejoice, and I called Dr. Scott immediately, and I said, listen, I want this song tonight. As I was traveling back from Delaware on Sunday, and it played a couple of times on two different stations, and the same thing happened like it did this morning. It brought tears to my eyes to just hear that your struggles will soon be over. It's going to be all right. Just to hear that word of encouragement through song when someone will feel like all hope is gone. But just to hear a song where someone is saying your struggles, your trials, your tests, it will be all over. It's going to be the burden. Going to be lifted. It will be all right. After you suffer, the scripture said, then you'll reign. So after you've gone through your valley situation, when you go through your valley situation, just know that God is in the valley with you. Had God had not been in the valley, well, then the valley of dry bones would still be in the valley. But Ezekiel had to call for the wind. The Lord told him, call for the wind. And the dry bones began to connect. The ankle bone connected to the, and the knee bone connected to, and all of the connections with the wind. The wind was life. God is life to us. He's the wind in our life. Somebody said, you are the wind beneath my wings. So therefore, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the wings of God. Hey, God, and feel the wind from the wings. Oh, God, I thank you. Hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, I thank you. Glory. Hallelujah. Hey, God, I thank you. Oh, the wind is blowing. God, I thank you. And you're putting everything in place. Someone made a song, so you don't have to stay in the shape that you're in, because the potter wants to put you back together again. And I tell you, those dry bones had been there for centuries, and there was nothing but bone, no flesh whatsoever. And never, they wasn't even buried. They were left on top, because had they been buried, covered, then you wouldn't have seen them. But they were just dumped off, bodies, human bodies, just dropped off into a valley, and it became a valley. Probably the valley was okay at first, but it ended up being called the Valley of Dry Bones. Lord, help me today. I feel good, y'all. I send this out to my sister Jackie and to my dear member Sister Rita and Sister Tara and Apostle Gertie and to all of my South Carolina, South Cackalacky crew. In the valley. It's all right to be in the valley if God is in there with you. But if you're in the valley and there's no God, then you are in a bad place. But when God is in your valley with you, you can say, my troubles soon will be over. It's going to be all right. And as God said to me when I prayed for the troop over in Afghanistan and Saudi Arabia, those places that the Spirit of the Lord God was upon me to pray that prayer. And my pastor said, you pray, Pat, because God has given it to me that you're the one to pray for the troops. And when I got there and said, it's going to be all right, and God spoke back and said, correction is already all right. But I don't suspect that you have to say that, because maybe God hasn't spoken to you and told you that it's already all right. So you hang out. Well, it will be all right. There's hope in that too, you know. Just knowing that, Lord, I tell you, that one day the troubles will be over. The sickness will be over. The heartaches will be over. The pain will be over. And Mr. Sherman, it will be all right. The troubles will be over. The shortness of breath and the dizziness and the aching bones will be over. So it will. Because it's already done in heaven. So it's already done. It's all right. Ooh, Lord, I feel good. You all know I do. My glory to God. Well, let's go to my Bible, and as always, I study one thing, and then God will show me something completely different. But it's all good. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. I'll start here where it says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus. I just told you there's only one name. One name. That's it. If you're calling on any other name than the name Jesus, it's just a waste of time. Okay? All right. The Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Listen to this. I'm going to drop down here to verse 7. Now, you all read this, please, at your place, wherever. But let me just drop on down here, because I want to get over to that third one, too. It says here in that seventh verse, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Now, do I have to explain that? God didn't call you to be dirty, but he called you to be holy. Are you all right with that? He therefore that despiseth not man. If you don't like being holy, if you don't want to be clean through the word of God, then you're not despising man, you're despising God. Because it's why? It's his word. And who called you? God called you to cleanliness, to holiness. Amen? Not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Have you been so long time going to church and had not yet received the Holy Spirit? Then something must not be clean somewhere. There is, my grandma would say, there's a dead cat on the line. That God hath called you unto righteousness, not unto uncleanness, but yet you can't stay clean long enough to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is not coming into an unclean vessel. It will come after the vessel has been washed with the blood of the Lamb, with the word of God. We are cleansed through the word of God. The word of God will cleanse us unto salvation. And when we get cleansed and stay cleansed, then he'll give us his Holy Spirit. You're not going to hell on my watch, because I'm going to tell you what thus saith the Lord. And it's up to you to get it for yourself after I give it to you. But you, that young man that I talked with about what he was talking about, he said he didn't feel, he said he knows that they say that the good Lord don't make any mistakes. And he said, but I just don't feel that. See, he was letting me know that he just didn't feel comfortable thinking that God had did such a thing as this. I couldn't keep, you know, there's a song, I wish I had thought of it earlier, that the Hawkins, I believe, made back in my day, back in the 70s. It says, what is this? It won't let me hold my peace. Lord have mercy. It's a beautiful song. You all Google it and put YouTube, pull it up or something. But whatever it is, it said, it won't let me hold my peace. I could not sit there any longer and not represent who I am. And I said to the young man, I said, look here, God didn't do this. Because the Bible said that the enemy, the devil, comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Now, God didn't do this. Did he stop it? No. But did he do it? No. God didn't do this. The devil had the same resume. I don't know why you keep getting tricked by him over and over and over and over and over. The devil has not changed his resume from day one. God told you what the devil's resume is. He came to destroy you if he can. He came to kill you if he can. And not only, he might leave you alive, you might be existing, but he steal from you your joy. Steal from you your health and your strength. Steal from you your life. Steal your children, and yet you still want to worship him and not be sanctified and not be cleansed through the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. You don't want to receive the Holy Ghost. It is better, far better for you to indulge in the other things of the resume of the devil, that all he's out to do you think you're happy for the moment, but he's scheming and plotting to destroy you. Now, you can take it to the bank. God told you what his resume is. Maybe we preachers need to preach on that more than talking about God's going to give you a car and a boat and all these things. Maybe we need to tell it like it is. Don't be afraid. Tell it like it is. Let your conscience be your guide. I tell you, let me move on because I'm excited. And indeed also toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. I went from 8 to 10. Jumped over some stuff here. Let's go to 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now, somebody's not going to like this, but I'm reading this right from 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, starting at verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Oh, my God. When my nephews, both of them passed away, I danced and I preached for my nephew Jamel service. When the preacher got up, he really should have called for the corner and said, "Let's." I tell you, I work with it because I have hope that he was just asleep. Not dead, but asleep. When my nephew Jimmy passed away, I had to give God the glory. I got my dance on. Did I cry later? Yes, I did. Because Jesus wept over his friend Lazarus. So he understand our tears at our death. But we shouldn't go on crying for the next 10 years. Now, come on here. You serving a God that gives us strength, gives us peace in the midst of our sorrow. Let me get back up because I'm excited now. You all know how I do when I get excited. Mm-hmm. Because, see, I hear many of you, these preachers and folks, say, well, you know, we all got to die. We all got to go that same way, like he gone or like she gone. We all got to go that same way. But I tell you, that's not scripture. For the Bible says here, and 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, beginning at verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Ooh, my God, I just said a whole lot then. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive, and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not. Oh, bless his name. I got to turn my page. Coming unto the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an angel and with the trump of God, not Donald Trump, but the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, you can circle verse 17, because this is going to make the preacher should just tell the truth. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. Woo! And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So you see, if you don't die, if you don't go to sleep, but if you go to sleep, then you're going to be the first one to get up. You're going to be with God when he comes. He's going to have you with him to meet the Lord. And those of us that still here on the earth when that day take place, the Lord will scoop us up unto the cloud, and we will be with him forever and forever. He's going to bring the saints with him. If you die not being a saint, you notice you will not be getting up. See, the reason why would he say the first trump? If he'd have just said, well, the trump is going to sound and they're all the dead is, you know, the sleeping dead is going to get up and go with him, then that's in the story. But it says the first trump, the first one. So that lets me know that there's another trump to sound. And that's those that we were just reading about that didn't care to be bothered with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me go back to it because sometimes you think, make people think they're crazy. And verse 8, he said, he therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. See, the people in verse 8 are the ones that have died. They're not asleep. They're not going to get up. But that first, I don't care what preacher is preaching, going to try to put you in heaven. The devil is a liar. Look here, they're not getting up in that first trump, because it's got to be a second one, because the way that the scripture says my God in heaven, Lord, thank you, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. See, this is where first is here. It doesn't say like I was saying, but I put it that way, the first trump gonna sound. Well, so okay, let's go like exactly like it's written. The trump will sound. And those that are dead in Christ, asleep in Christ, will get up first, shall rise up first. Circle it. It's there. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. See? He's going to have them, and we're going to join him with them, the ones that got up first. You better live so that you can get up on the first trump. Because there's a second one coming. That's the second death. That's all of those that despise the word of God, the commandment of God, the way of God, the will of God. They didn't want to heed to what the scripture said. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Oh, it's all right to drink. It's all right to smoke. It's all right to party and all of that. But you're doing it against God. I don't know why we... Let me get off that, because I don't preach that way. I try to encourage my listeners. Listen to this. See that none... I don't even... Look, I've gone to the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. This is some good pickings here, too. And it says, the 15th verse of 5 says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Verse 16, rejoice evermore. 17, pray without ceasing. 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance. Good God, the appearance of evil, my God, and the very God of peace, sanctify you holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, and I pray, God, your whole spirit, W-H-O-L-E, and soul and body be preserved, blameless, unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. I'm not even going over into second. I'm closing my book. May the Lord God bless the hearers and the doers of his word. Maybe I'll do a part two next week. God bless you. This is my prayer. Amen. You bad, Dr. Scott. You bad. Woo! It won't let me hold my peace. I tell you. Yes, Lord. What is this?
Dad, what is this? That I feel deep inside. It keeps setting my soul on fire.
Whatever it is.
Yes, what is this? Bishop Dr. Gregory Scott, WGUM, thank you so much for listening to Glory United Ministries. And we're going out with the Hawkins Brothers singing, What Is This?
Progressive presents Mindflowness with Flo.
Your aura brims with confidence. The Name Your Price tool has given you policy options based on your budget. A source of great power rises from within, like a Tyrannosaurus Rex that can shoot dragons out of its eyes, riding on a tank.
Get insurance based on your budget with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Boar's Head invites you to enlighten your senses. Introducing Boar's Head Ichiban Teriyaki Style Chicken. Inspired by Japanese master chefs, our signature teriyaki glaze is crafted with garlic, ginger, and a hint of brown sugar. Then paired with our tender, slow-roasted chicken breast for a flavor that's sweet, savory, remarkably bold. Boar's Head Ichiban Teriyaki Style Chicken. The bold flavor of Japan. Now at the deli. Compromise elsewhere.